to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right. Welcome to another episode of Wake the Bear Radio. Remember this? This brings us back. Why are we playing the A-Team? Ah, there you go. Happy Diddy the Fool. Love it.
Happy Diddy the Fool.
You did that in the last 30 seconds.
Deal.
Very good.
Love it.
Brandon,
love
you did that in the last 30 seconds, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, the reason why we have the A-Team going on, phase this out, it is because P. Diddy is in the news, and we had named this P. Diddy the Fool, and it's also April Fool's Day. So we thought we would put it all together in a nifty little Hididio title. So
now I thought we were going to go with National Atheist Day today, you know, the one that says, for the fool has said in his heart there is no God. We changed it, didn't we? Pity the Fool.
Well, that was that was from a court case, I believe, where you know, this atheist came and he wanted to have an atheist holiday, and he went to the judge and says, "Hey, those Christians, they've got Christmas and Easter, and that's not fair. We need to have equal representation." And the judge says, "You already do. You have April Fool's Day." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, the scriptures say the fool says in his heart there is no God." So
Well, you know,
right on time.
A lot of people are waking up right now. There's a lot of stuff that people are actually starting to follow, some of this stuff that we've been sharing for years now. And that's because they've been kind of under the mind control of the mainstream media. If you know, they've been celebrating Fool's Day for the last couple of years because all they put out on CNN and MSNBC is fake news that and I think people are finally, you know, recognizing that it was foolish to just believe whatever they saw on the mainstream media. And, you know, we're waking up to these operations like the Mockingbird, you know, Operation Mockingbird, you know, and it's nice to see people waking up. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, the joke is about the fool and stuff. I'm not calling anyone who doesn't not believe in God a total fool or something like that. You know, everybody's in a journey. And it is my hope and prayer, our hope and prayer, that, you know, people will eventually open their eyes and see that God loves them and wants them. So when you hear us a little tongue in cheek, it is April Fool's Day. We're not calling a non-believer, someone who doesn't believe like us, a bunch of fools. There are fools out there, and we're going to be talking about some very foolish people. We're judging a lot of that on the physical actions that they've been doing. So I just wanted you guys to know that. So all are welcome. We love you all. So,
Well, talk about who we are.
Okay. Well, hey, so let's, before we jump right into it, just want to remind everybody that this is Wake the Bear Radio. We started on KSCO Radio, and we've kind of moved online. I'm pleased to say that, you know, Ron has told us the last 2 weeks we've had about 500 people watch on a couple of various different platforms. So people are out there watching our content, which is really great. Thank you for watching us. You know that, you know, we're excited to bring you news from an awakened bear, which is the bear is California, and the bear, she is waking up. And each week, you know, we bring topics that, you know, that cover California news, news in the USA news around the globe. And we do this from a perspective of patriots and saints. And we are Christians, and we try to think deeply about issues, not just the, you know, the quick knee-jerk reaction, but ask questions, try to go deeper in a type of, you know, spirit of journalism. And what we've been seeing lately, and, you know, not lately, but I would say in the last 3-4 years, is this phenomenon where Christians are becoming patriots and patriots are becoming Christians. And it's a beautiful thing, and we know that the dark side is seeing this too, because they've actually constructed this new term they're throwing around called Christian nationalism, which, you know, I'm not even sure what they mean by that. If they mean that you're a Christian and you love this nation, then I guess, you know, all of the founding fathers were Christian nationalists. But, you know, they're acknowledging a phenomenon and by using a term of derision for Christians who actually just care and are getting involved in the political process, because they would rather, the authoritarian left would rather you remain silent, your voice be silenced, and then they control everything that goes on in the in politics. So it's just really neat to see that this is going on right now. People are waking up. People are questioning the narrative. I mean, that was the original name that we had thought about for this show. But then, of course, we were on KSCO radio and they had Mama Bears and we had the elephant in the room. We thought, we're going to need a cool name, like, you know, Wake the Bear, you know. So that's what we came up with. And so, you know, we got a great show tonight. We have 132 shows on our website. You can go to wakethebearradio.com. Wakethebearradio.com has all of our past shows. And to be honest, all of them are relevant still. I was watching a show, a teaching that Jack Hibbs Church had done 2 years ago on media lies and mind control. And I'm thinking, man, this is just as relevant right now as it was at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, and the lockdowns. So I just think, you know, if you wanted to go back, pick a show that you that we've talked about before, go watch, go listen. You're still going to find relevant content there. And so, you know, check it out, wakethebearradio.com, all our past shows. There's also some really great deep dives that Ron and Chris have done. I think Ron's deep dive on Who is Israel. There's probably eight things on there, and Israel's hot in the news right now. So who is the true Israel? You can watch our stuff on Rumble, YouTube, Cloud Hub, Facebook. Please like and subscribe our channels. I know people ask you to do that, but, you know, it's really important if you want to continue to follow us to like and subscribe. And so we want to encourage you also, if you don't like something we say, and we're open to being criticized, please email us at, you know, wakethebearradio.com, Brandon at wakethebearradio.com. If you really like stuff we say, you can email Chris and Ron. I'll take some of the attack, but we want to interact with you. So please email us. It's Brandon at wakethebearradio.com, Chris, K-R-I-S at wakethebearradio.com, and Ron, R-O-N at wakethebearradio.com. So that's us. And come check us out and come. We're glad you're here tonight, and we got a great show for you tonight. Well, what do you guys want to start with here?
Oh, there are a lot of things that happened in this past week. I mean, I think a big one was the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I mean, that happened right the day after our last show last week.
Yeah, last Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big one. There's also some great, there is some interesting news that's going on. Did you guys hear about that Newsom actually canceled his State of the Union for California? Like he was supposed to do some sort of California State of the Union and he canceled it. My wife was telling me, I think Kevin Kiley pointed this out, that he was supposed to do one and he canceled it. Apparently can't find anything good to talk about. And people don't listen to his brainwashing gaslighting anymore. So that's kind of new. Another thing that's a little bit challenging I heard about in California news before we go to the national news is the high mortgage rate. CNN just came out this week. I don't know if we talked about this one, but that you basically have to make $197,000,
a
year to be able to buy a house currently in California. And I just thought I'd show this little screenshot here. This is from CNN. So apparently, you know, CNN is getting to the point where, yeah, they realize that that's where we're at right now. High mortgage rates have shrunk and housing supply have made buying a house out of reach for many. And I forgot to tell you guys about this, but I don't know if maybe you, Chris, are similar, but my wife and I, we had our fire insurance, our home insurance canceled.
They're going to
double it. They're going to double the price of housing insurance for us. And then by this time next year, we'll be completely canceled by Farmers Insurance, which has been one of the best ones out there. So they, you know, and basically they said, you know, they're canceling like 79,000 policies. And it's just ridiculous. It's going to make the housing market, it's going to correct the housing market, because you can't sell your house if you can't buy a house, can't get a mortgage without having insurance. And so It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the California market.
Yeah, that was a conversation at the gym that I had yesterday with some ladies, and one of them said that theirs went up 3 times this past year. So, and the mortgage rates that you were talking about, there's a picture of the United States from pale pink to this deep burgundy, like red wine color. And California is the deep burgundy, the only deep burgundy on the whole nation, which shows the worst mortgage rates in the country. So that makes me very sad because Hawaii's got a deep burgundy too. I didn't see it. It's such those little islands there, but that means a lot of young people are going to leave because they want to own a home. They want to start a family and they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it definitely feels like, you know, lots of fires going on, lots of fires that were mismanaged in California. And now the insurance companies don't have enough money to pay out all of these. So now they're going to cancel a bunch of people. It seems like a theme going on, almost like orchestrated to, you know, take away single family housing units, you know, homeowner ownership away from Californians and other people, and just make it out of, you know, out of touch, out of reach, so that everybody's living and renting in, you know, 15-minute cities inside of, you know, these packed areas, rather than, you know, especially homes that are out in, you know, wildfire areas. And they're not, you know, they're urban, not rural. So, or rural, not urban.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, you have to be so careful how you take in the news too, because, you know, you can choose to have your glass half full or half empty. I was listening to someone who was talking about how wonderful the drought is over. And we might even have a little bit of a super bloom here in California. The grass is green. Wow. And even next week, we just had a little bit of extra rain. We usually don't have rain until April, but there's something on the horizon. And almost immediately later it was, but you know, that means we're going to have a terrible fire season. It's just like, please, can we enjoy the green grass while we can and the beautiful flowers? I'm not going into that low frequency Debbie Downer kind of talk anymore. And we need to really shift, not being those that are complaining. I think God says a lot about those that complain. And I think it's, you know, it makes people sick in their body. It changes the atmosphere in the room. It brings down everybody's hope level. And so as we go into these things with California, we'll try and make the best of every situation.
Amen. Well, and as Christians, you know, we realize that we're in a war, you know, we're in a spiritual battle that's going on. But we also know, you know, who won the war already. And, you know, I was just reading a bit about the word tetelestai, the phrase that Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. And it has three meanings. It means it is finished in a legal term, like your debt is paid. It is finished that you've in a financial terms, like the actual financial debt is paid. And then another one is there's victory, like the war is completed. And so Jesus meant all three of those things when he spoke from the cross, it is finished. And then of course the completion of that work was his resurrection, which gives us power to live. And the Bible says by his stripes, we are healed. So we live now in the resurrected power of Jesus. And so any trials that we go through, we can see that there's purpose in them, and that, but ultimately we win. So that's, you know, just thinking of Easter and the celebration of Resurrection Sunday. I don't even like to call it Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday, you know,
because
it's, you know, we don't worship Ishtar, which is the, you know, the goddess of fertility and sex, you know, the Greeks and the Romans, but we worship a risen king, a risen savior. And one of my friends always likes to say, you know, Buddha's dead. He's in the grave. Muhammad's in the grave. There's only one who's no longer in the grave, and that's Jesus. He is risen.
Amen. He's risen indeed. Risen indeed. Yeah, it's a sad thing, you know, that we have a checkered history with the faith, you know, and there was a time when the Catholic Church, the Church of Rome, wanted to expand their influence you know, among pagan cultures, and they said, hey, let's merge. You know, I actually read a book years ago called The Two Babylons, and it basically, it was written in the 1800s, and it was basically the history of the Babylonian religions, right. You know, Medo-Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and then superstition in Europe and stuff like that. And it just showed where these things came from. Ishtar, she was Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, and she was, you know, after he died, somehow she gets pregnant. And so she says, well, I got impregnated by a sunbeam. So, you know, the god, so Sunday worship. So there's a really an emphasis for that, Easter, Sunday, Ishtar, Isis, and all that. And so, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, we got mixed in with that. And so everyone, you know, and Jesus, he talks a simple thing about, you know, his death and resurrection. They're saying, show us a sign, you're the Messiah. And he says, I'll just give you one. Just one. It should be pretty important. You know, he says, Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the ground for 3 days and three nights. And yet with our traditions, we go with the Good Friday, Sunday morning, which is about a day and a half. You know, and then you get these, I don't know, these wacky explanations like, well, part of a day is all of a day in a Jewish mindset. And it's like, I've never seen that written anywhere. People research that. I don't think that really holds any water, and it's not 3 days and three nights. So anyway, the word of God is accurate and true. Sometimes we don't always interpret it, or we let our traditions. So, but we take advantage of the opportunity. This is a time, whether you want to call it Easter, Resurrection Sunday, it is a time to talk about Jesus paying the ultimate price for our sin, redeeming Tonight. Us, those that believe. And so we're going to take advantage of that. And, you know, we, you know, it's interesting. We had Easter egg hunts with my kids. And I remember my four-year-old daughter, you know, I was telling her, this is a pagan Easter egg. And so at church, she was really excited. She's like, yeah, when we go home, we get to go hunting for pagan Easter eggs. All my friends are like, what are you talking about? You're a kid.
From the mouths of children.
Yeah, and I just said, well, she's going to know they're pagan at least. We'll do the thing and have fun with everybody, but she's going to at least know. So, you know.
Speaking of pagan, many people creepy. Were, this really feels like it was a calculated slap in the face to the body of Christ in America. Joe Biden, who pretends to be a Catholic, says he's a Catholic, goes to Catholic mass or whatever. It declares Easter Sunday the transgender day of visibility. People were just blown away at how wicked that is. And, you know, it's just so interesting that, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, they made the 31st, the transgender day of visibility 15 years ago. Yeah. But there's only been one president who actually, by the power or the authority invested as me as the president of the United States, literally used his authority to, you know, to, as a, yeah. promote it. Yeah, he actually had a declaration. I mean, we're talking, you know, this is what a president does when they declare like a day of prayer and fasting for
right.
God to hear us. He used the same voice to declare a national holiday of
yeah, read some of that so you could they could our listeners can actually hear what he said.
Yeah, it says here that now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and by the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as a transgender day of visibility. I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand at this 29th day of March in the year of our Lord 2024 and the independence of the independence of the United States of America, the 248th. I just cannot believe that he's in one sentence he's saying the Lord, and the next minute he is honoring basically what doctors have called up until like the last 10 years a mental illness, not a. You know, something to be celebrated. So,
but it makes perfect sense that it is on the day of Ishtar, doesn't it? Because that many believe that that idol or that demon characterization is a an androgynous transgender no god idol. So it makes sense in the that they would choose springtime too. And remember too that he does have handlers. And so when we think about Joe Biden, I heard him being interviewed by someone today who was calling him on Transgender Day on Easter. Why did he do it? And he said, I didn't do that. I didn't post that. He had posted something on his social media. I think it must have been on X, and he denied it. So somebody's posting for him, he could have forgotten, but I honestly think that he has handlers and he has people working behind the scene to create an agenda and a narrative of what this country is. And as other nations look in, where we have a history of being a Christian nation, and now they're seeing these things that are abominable and they're really quite wicked being part of our identity. And when a president announces that, it says something about a nation.
Yeah,
I agree. And then I remember last year he had this big celebration and he had transgender people on the lawn pulling off their tops and, you know, just moving. I mean, it was like right in front of the White House lawn and how, you know, the gay flags draped around the American flag. It was just vile. I came across this meme today. Remember, Mother's Day is for moms, not for men in dresses. Your day is April 1st. I thought that was interesting.
Yep. Yeah. And that's not transgender day or what do they call it? The trans awareness day. That is the Fool's Day, isn't it? Well, I mean, I wanted to call today clowns and court jesters, jokers and fools. So on our show, because there is a lot of tomfoolery going around in our state capital and in our nation's capital.
Yeah. I mean, just if you just take a swath of what's going on and what the Democratic Party has been pushing on our kids through our teachers, in our military, in our doctors, and then cities that are falling apart and borders that are being overran and sending money to Ukraine. And then of your president sleeping through the whole thing, kind of what you said, probably being handled. Someone else is doing all of this work on his behalf. So, it's kind of sad. But we continue to remember the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess someday that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so we don't lose hope, and we don't get in fear. We don't get in panic. We recognize that we should expect this from the things of the world. But we do, it is a shocker, and we do recognize that it's evil. And so
yes,
important for us to point it out.
Let's move on to our main stories. I know the middle main one will be the P. Diddy, but let's go with the bridge, the one I brought up earlier, just since it happened just about a week ago. And it will kind of chronologically go through the week in a way with these big stories. And so,
go for it.
What happened on Tuesday? That was just quite a shocker to see and to hear what had happened. So, you know what? I don't even have the video, but I'm sure people have seen this video by now. It's been on mainstream as well as all the truth channels. And that is this big barge at night when it's dark, comes around and makes a sharp right turn and crashes right into one of the major support pylons that hold this bridge up. And instantly the whole bridge comes crashing down. And so, you know, instantly you're going to have your conspiracies and people are going to take sides, what had happened. And we're just going to look at what does it mean? I mean, with the fact that this bridge went down, what does that mean? How does that impact us? Is this just a little bridge or is this a major, you know? And there were some that said this was I think Laura Logan, she was very quick to talk about it. And she says, you know, this is the perfect military exercise. I don't know if she committed all the way to say it was or by who, but she felt that if you are going to do something that's going to take down an economy and really cripple an economy, this bridge is brilliant, a genius, because I think there was 4,900 trucks that go across that every day, or it's 49,000. It's a lot. It's probably 1,000. Yeah. It's a major trucking route. A lot of hazardous materials go across that. That would be like diesel, gasoline, you know, various gases and things like that, you know, and that goes across, that shipping route as well. And then one of the biggest ports we have is just on the inside of that bridge where you have to pass through that bridge. And, this one, yeah, it was quite a shocker. And then, you know, some of the conspiracies that came out, you know, did it blow up? Did someone blow it up? And you could see some sparks here and there. And others said it's probably the power lines because they're kind of getting stretched right at those key places. I'm kind of going with the power line thing. But I'm taking a wait and see. There's some really suspicious things. You know, one of them was the black box. Easy to get the black box because it wasn't a crash. The whole ship's intact. You know, it's got some dents in the front. But they're missing 2 minutes, a critical time right when it happened. It's like, I mean, it's probably in the same 2 minutes as Jeffrey Epstein's 2 minutes. It's somewhere in someone's vault, you know, just happens to be right at the time. Oh, it's missing. So that really raises a lot of eyebrows.
The last 2 minutes before the crash.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? How convenient. Yeah.
And black box by nature, they're not going to go down with the power. You know, they have backups. That's what a black box is good for, right? I want that thing running 24/7 on the trip, and that's what it's for. And so to do that, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And we didn't really get an answer, did we, about the crew or the captain? I looked for some statements about them, but I didn't see anything about the crew or the captain. What we know are the facts that we saw on those videos, that there was a power outage because we saw the boat go black just moments before. There, I did hear that there was a mayday that the captain sent out at the very last minute. Then we also saw the port side anchor being thrown out. That might have been a last minute trying to bring the ship quickly about, stop it and bring it about, because it was at an angle that the anchor was thrown out. So there were some interesting things, but all that I could find fact-wise were those things that were on the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Laura Logan, what she says, she doesn't think it's an accident. She thinks it's an attack. She's on with the war room, and she actually goes into a little bit with it. I'll just play just a real short snippet here.
Coincidences? I don't believe in coincidences anymore. None of this happens by chance. This happens by design. And the problem that we have is that people in power in this country are complicit in the breakdown of American infrastructure and America's defenses. And Steve, this is one thing that's really important for people to understand. If you step back from this for one single moment, you will notice a pattern developing here. When we left behind $80 billion of equipment in Afghanistan, nobody said we had to do that. There was no one with a gun to the administration's head saying, get out of Afghanistan by this date. They said, oh, we made a deal with the Taliban. Oh, wait a minute. You made a deal with a bunch of terrorists? You're the world's superpower. You chose a timeline and you chose an exit that resulted in handing $80 billion of advanced military equipment to your enemies.
Yeah, she goes on, you know, she basically says that she thinks these are designed fumbles that are actually, you know, meant to weaken America. And it talks about the ports there, that all the shipping ports is like 9 major junctures that are all shut down if that bridge is shut down. And then, like you said, all the trucks coming across. I mean, if you were going to say, I'm going to go to war and I want to destroy a major area that would actually cripple an economy, cripple the food, you know, shipping, you would pick this kind of attack to. And then of course the federal government right away said, we're going to take care of it.
we're going to pay for the whole rebuilding, which means if the federal government repays for the building, then there's no need for the private industry who should be taking responsibility to do an investigation. And then of course, you know, within hours they're saying, oh, it wasn't a terrorist attack. Well, how do you know? You didn't even do an investigation yet. So, yeah. And so there's just a lot of unanswered questions. One of the things that came out recently too, is there is also a Chinese businessman who says that the CCP has remote towing capabilities that actually can do, that actually can cause a ship, you know, to go wacko. You want to show us more about this video here, Ron?
Yeah, just as you're talking, I just, unfortunately it's the full 7 minutes. I got it playing twice as fast, but basically I'll just keep going. So this thing goes out, it's getting towards the center, and then all of a sudden it starts to make a sharp left turn, which is really interesting because, or sharp right turn, I'm sorry. They said they threw out a left front anchor, which would actually make it turn left, and yet it turned right. So that was also pretty interesting. And as it gets closer, it's getting closer, and I'm just... Boom, it hits right there, and boom, it goes down.
Yeah, I mean, it basically had to hit the exact right piling for all that to happen. Like, for that chain reaction to happen, it had to hit the right one at the right moment, the right timing. So it's hard to believe that wasn't somehow orchestrated. You know, now it could be, you know, I like what you said, Chris, and quoting General Flynn, it's an incident till it's proven that it's an accident, right? So we can't, you know. It may not, you know, Laura Logan's obviously jumping to a conclusion that it's an attack. But there's another one here. I want to share this one real quick. This businessman, he says, there he is.
Let me say this. I will say it again. The CCP is absolutely capable of doing this. The remote towing technology of the CCP is very mature. I have seen it myself before, I dare say it now. This is why the yacht lady may lost control in the Hudson River when I was on it. She lost control. Then I suddenly remembered it's the CCP has remote towing technology. Then I immediately put my phone to the other boat next to her. Then Lady May returned to normal. When I put my phone back on Lady May, she lost control again. Eventually, it was determined that my phone had been hacked. When the FBI investigated, they were all stunned. This was the first case they had ever seen. And they finally understood that the CCP had mastered the technology of remote towing. When I met with the CIA, they were also very surprised. They were convinced that the CCP now had this capability as well. In my testimony, I told all the relevant government agencies many times that the CCP is capable of hacking into and controlling all the modern computerized electronics in the United States. Anything that has a computer, a chip, a plane, a car, a yacht, or a boat, including the smart home electronics in your home, the CCP can hack and control them all. So for anyone who has to deal with the evil CCP, we can't underestimate them. Personally, I and my family have experienced it in the Hudson River in Manhattan. After the Lady May incident happened, the captain quit. He was traumatized. He said it was the most terrifying moment of his life. Lady May is one of the most advanced yachts equipped with the most advanced military technology in the world. Its design has won the Global Technology Award for 4 years. But one day, on the Hudson River, she suddenly began to spin out of control. How frightening. Think about it. That's why the captain quit. And even the yacht company didn't dare to work with us anymore. Actually, everyone was so dumbfounded at that time. And the CIA was even more dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Like that ending. No. Yeah. It is interesting. I'm just trying to think about it. So the hack into the phone definitely has the ability to transmit because that's how it communicates outside of itself, whether Wi-Fi or by cell. So there probably has to be a little bit more setup, but you know, you can transfer viruses and things like that. So backdoors and all that. So I could see it being possible, for sure, you know, but, yeah, scary, you know? And so some of the things, you know, people are trying to read, is this, you know, is there a sign? Is this something that maybe a message to us? And I've heard a couple of them, you know, one is the name of the ship was Dolly, which means, you know, come to, or come to God. And so it could be a call saying, hey, come to me, you know, which means pretty much repent. And we're getting in that time, you know, with the eclipse, which we'll cover towards the end, you know, about repentance, that this represents a thing of repentance as well. So it could be something like that. You know, it was interesting. The name of the bridge was Francis Scott Key. He was the person that wrote this Star Spangled Banner that many people sing. I sing it at games. And, you know, we all stand and you hear it. Someone will sing it. Actually, we don't sing it, but it's sung to us most of the time. A difficult song, actually, real high and low. But, you know, he wrote that within 100 yards, they say, of that crash. You know, he was there. You know,
Fort McHenry's right there, wasn't it? And it was during the War of 1812 when he was on board a British ship just trying to advocate for a friend's life that was a doctor who refused to treat British soldiers. So he was about to be executed, and Francis Scott Key went on as a diplomat and acting as someone that was speaking on behalf of his friend. And he actually ended up getting the man, the doctor friend, free. But during his time on that ship, when he was seeking the life of his friend, that's when the British, they bombed Fort McHenry. And that's what precipitated the writing of the national anthem.
You know, it's interesting, that story, because, you know, we had the Declaration of Independence. We had the Revolutionary War. We won it. We gained our dependence, or our independence. And then what happened? It was being taken away again during the 1812. And I think it was 1814 when it actually was written. The White House was already burned down to the ground. You know, they had come in and the nation was almost lost. And I almost see some parallels with that, just thinking about it now, you know, where we had a very strong nation, the greatest generation and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden the decay of morality and culture. And next thing you know, we are literally fighting for our country to survive and to come back. And so, yeah, Francis Scott Key. So
it's very symbolic that it was under attack, wasn't it?
Yeah. That our Star Spangled Banner, I mean, it was under attack. You know, that's another way of looking at it. You know, was this a message from the deep state? You know, cripple the economy. And you know, what's really interesting too is you know, Biden, the resident goes, "Hey, we'll pay for it." You know, it's like, wait a minute. Don't you have insurance companies for that? You have the bridge itself has insurance, and the boat has insurance. Shouldn't they be working it out, and shouldn't they be paying for it? And he says, "Oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to investigate it either. We'll take care of it." And it's like, who's we? You mean all the taxpayers got to pay for this too now? You know, so I was very obviously I was disappointed. I was kind of really frustrated and outraged that he would volunteer us like instantly. Like, I don't know. I guess that's what happens when you have free money. You know, just got a printing press. You just run it for an extra hour. And it's crazy. So
print enough money. You know, it's interesting how, you know, so much of these this type of scene is coming from the movie Leave the World Behind, which was produced by the Obamas. There's very similar scenes in that movie and something like this bridge collapsing. You know, there's one where a ship goes off course and hits a beach. You know, all these cars stop, you know, and they're talking about, you know, with remote towing, you know, that you can actually control, you know, technology through other remote technology, you know, portions. So, yeah, I wonder what part of this is predictive programming. It's trying to help create the atmosphere where fear takes over. Yeah. And, you know, whatever you think about this movie, or like it or hate it, whatever, you know, just the key here is not giving in to fear, you know. Yes, concern. Yes, investigation. Yes, putting the puzzle pieces together, being ready for anything, but not giving in to fear.
Yeah. Predictive programming is designed to push people towards a conclusion from something. And so that's something, this bridge collapse, being hit by Dali, which is interesting because Salvador Dali did a painting on a ship running and collapsing a bridge. I thought that was very interesting, or a broken bridge. But it's predictive programming, because what happens is when you see it, instantly you think, oh, is this a cyber attack? You know, instantly. I mean, right. Look at us. We're already expecting that and stuff. And so, you know, that movie was all about that. I did see that movie. I was very interested in seeing it. And it was very dark, actually. It was kind of dark and gloomy. It was like, it was definitely, anyway, interesting.
Yeah. Well, talking of dark and gloomy, why don't we move on to P. Diddy? Because he has been in the news. And it's one of those things where it's horrible, but you're happy that it's coming out because of the wickedness and how deep some of the things are.
Tell us about that, Chris. Chris, what do you know about, you know, it seems like P. Diddy is like the black version of Jeffrey Epstein here. Like, but it's interesting because we're getting a whole lot more information from P. Diddy and, you know, entire client lists being exposed, where the other client list of, you know, Epstein's client list is still, we still don't even know. Like, we're still not even told who's on it. So it's interesting there. What do you make of all this, Chris, that's going on?
Well, yeah, the first thing that we knew that anything was happening was that the feds were raiding P. Diddy, and his real name is Sean Combs. And then he went by Puffy for a while, and then he went to P. Diddy, and then he got sued in Great Britain, and sometimes he just calls himself Diddy. But he's basically a billionaire rapper. And so last week, his home in L.A., his home in New York, his home in Miami were all simultaneously raided by the feds, and they were DHS officers. And the DHS alleged there were allegations of sex trafficking operations at his homes. And with these sex operations, there was another honeypot scheme. They think a lot of it was related to many of the lawsuits that have recently come up against him. And he has quite a litany of lawsuits from people that have accused him of abusing them, of sexually exploiting them, of drugging them. And one of the major lawsuits was from his co-partner, whose name was Little Rod. And he claims that he witnessed mountains of narcotics and illegal firearms. He saw women and underage boys and girls drinking laced, basically drugged drinks. He saw sex workers and underage people. His neighbors said that every weekend the busloads of underage boys and girls would come in for these big parties. Now, he is a very, very, very wealthy man. He lives very close to the Playboy Mansion. He is in the very high real estate area of the Hollywood Hills. And Little Rod continued to say that he'd been groped by Diddy. He'd been groomed by Diddy. He'd been forced into humiliating sexual performances by him, that Diddy was usually high on gummies. I guess he takes these forms of gummy bears that are laced with drugs, pills, cocaine, and ecstasy, and that many of them were by Christina Corum, who is kind of the Ghislaine Maxwell to Diddy, that was Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend slash maybe handler, maybe partner. And allegedly she would order her assistant, that Diddy would order her as his assistant to drug the underage girls and the sex workers that were coming in. And so many of the girls, many of the boys who are under 15, we've seen many pictures. And then his bodyguard came out today, and his name is, his last name is Mohammed. And he said that he had seen Diddy shoot people, that he had heard him claim to have killed some people, and that he had seen many of the biggest names in Hollywood, politicians, CEOs, and those in the record industry, very high-level performers in Hollywood that were had tapes made of him. So as the bodyguard to P. Diddy, he was privy to a lot of things. And often they were plied with drugs and alcohol, and then they were filmed and they were blackmailed. So basically, there's this whole, there are a lot of people coming out speaking up against him right now of the quid pro quo, blackmail, and extortion plots that were done by P. Diddy against those. Some were up and coming performers. Others were politicians and wealthy people. So it sounds like it was quite a scam that P. Diddy was running.
Yeah, wow. I had one here, just an advertisement went on, but I wanted to just show, you know, Justin Bieber was one of his, I would call him a victim, you know, and he's one of many people that have come out recently. And this video, I'm not going to play it, it's just really creepy. It's about P. Diddy's like, hey, I'm, you know, I got Justin Bieber here with me for the weekend. It's, you know, we're going to do all these things that we're not going to tell anybody what we did. And it just kind of really, it was, it came across as a creepy video. And it, poor Justin Bieber, he's just a little kid here, you know. And so that's the type of thing, you know. But there's picture after picture that's coming across social media right now that's just showing, you know, or people are saying, hey, I was forced by him. I was taken advantage by him. I was blackmailed. You know, I was his slave. And they're big names and lots of, he'd have these freak out parties where he would just get everybody laced up with drugs and then start, you know, blackmailing. And, you know, I guess that's a good, you know, the scriptures talk about don't be drunk, you know, with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But there's also a lot of things talking about, you know, you do regretful things and we need to be, mm-hmm. we need to be on top of our senses and just, you know, that's part of good living, you know, because people did a lot of things that they regret. I know a lot of personal friends that have done things under the influence that they wish they'd never done. And they're like, oh, why did I do that? You know, whether it's a DUI or a rape, or a, you know, a crash, you name it. And so, these people fell prey to that, and P. Diddy took advantage of it. You know, it's interesting because we're just hearing about P. Diddy as if it were something really new. But I know those that went onto the cue board years ago. I mean, we're talking 5 years ago. He was associated. Here's a picture of him with Rachel Chandler. Now, Rachel Chandler was a child handler for Jeffrey Epstein, and and so I just found it very, very interesting that here he is. And she's 14 here, she says. So she posted this here. So, yeah, she's only 14. So I just thought that was pretty interesting. I don't have
Cat Williams, he's mentioned, we talked about this about 3 weeks ago, that P. Diddy and T.D. Jakes was part of a gang of pedophiles and human trafficking ring that he mentioned. And he said something very interesting. He said, 2024, Diddy's coming down, and so are some of these other gangs of pedophiles. And he was very strong with maybe he had some inside information or maybe he just had a premonition, but he was very strong about talking about these guys are not going to be able to sustain their pedophilia and the human trafficking ring. It is going to collapse around them. And it appears it is collapsing. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. I think many have been praying that there would be exposure to the pedophilia and the human trafficking and that things would shift. This is the beginning of something. And keep praying that that there will be justice, that this won't be another under the rug, or that one of the posts on X to him, it was almost funny, but it was basically, it was said that he had some damaging footage of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, and someone commented on his page, he didn't write that, but someone commented that Diddy needs to be very careful that he doesn't go paddleboarding on Martha's Vineyard. And yeah. I might think, you know, stay away from any nooses in the jail too. I mean, he hasn't been indicted yet. He hasn't been arrested, but he is definitely being investigated. And there are new allegations coming out every day.
Yeah. Well, birds of a feather flock together, you know. So here you have, you know, this is way back in March 20th, almost a 5-year delta. I mean, very close, 2019. You know, but here, this Rachel Chandler, who worked for Jeffrey Epstein, you know, with P. Diddy, but here's Eminem, you know, she's with another guy. These are all big names here. Bill Clinton over here, you know, and she's just a kid, you know, and it just goes down the list and some of just the weird things that these people were doing. You know, here she is with Prince Philip, right? Is that Philip or Andrew? I'm sorry, Prince Andrew. She was what, 15 there? Oh, I'm sorry, that's not her. That's not Chandler, but she was
Peter Baird.
That was Peter Baird. So she's here, but the one with Prince Andrew. But yeah, I mean, you could just see here. She put on her Instagram what appears to be hidden cameras, most likely of the Jeffrey Epstein Island. You know, so that was suggested by Q, you know, some of these things. But so, you know, Rothschild's over here. So this Rachel Chandler had a lot of connections, and P. Diddy was, you know, right along with them. And so it's just interesting. It's all coming out, and it will come out, you know, in due time. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that name, Rachel Chandler, in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about all this is, you know, I can't help but go back to, you know, look at things like Jeffrey Epstein Island. There's this, you know, old Disney film, you know, you guys are probably familiar with it, called Pinocchio. And there's a scene where all of the Pinocchio's wrapped up with these boys that are doing evil, and he gets caught up with them, and they take him to Pleasure Island. And while they're at Pleasure Island, they're eating as much as they want and they're smoking. And it's interesting because this is back when, you know, stories and parables actually had a godly, moral point. And it shows that all of a sudden these boys start turning into donkeys, and they actually, they actually become slaves. So they go to Pleasure Island and they become slaves. And it's just in it, I was going to show this one picture.
They become Democrats. If you say donkey, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I think the original is jackass. They became jackasses. I believe that was the term, but yeah.
They go to Pleasure Island and then they start turning into donkeys. Yeah. Jackasses. There's Alexander, Jack and Daniel, the boys he was with. And so the story of this is like to beware that you don't just chase after your pleasures, because sooner or later your pleasures going to Pleasure Island, you'll become a slave. And I thought,
do you see that? Do you see that pyramid?
Pyramid, yeah. Which
on top of the donkey's head on Pleasure Island.
Look at, and he's got a phone, and it's Pleasure Island. And it says, and this is a phrase from the Satanic Bible: "Do what thou wilt." In other words, do whatever you want. And what does it lead to? But it leads to being
the
one eye of
the Illuminati's on there at the bottom. Yes, that's and 33. Do you see the 33 on the phone? And they have red shoes, which is a sign of making shoes out of human skin. It's very, very. And that pinwheel is also a sign of pedophilia.
I wonder if this is a Disney sanctioned thing or if this is just somebody.
Oh, no, definitely not a Disney sanctioned thing. This is someone who's made the same connections we have. Pleasure Island, a cult Pinocchio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's interesting, though, that, you know, that's that morality of that story was don't go after your flesh, because it'll lead you into slavery. You'll turn into a donkey. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, let's talk next week at this time. The eclipse will have been done. And there's a lot of chatter out there about the eclipse on April 8th. So there are a lot of fear messages. There are a lot of strange messages. There are a lot of ridiculous messages. And there's some interesting science. So let's talk just a little bit about the April 8th eclipse.
Yeah. So,
well, I've been tracking this eclipse from the first one. So there was one 6 years and 7 months ago during, and I actually did a whole study on this, and that what is the, you know, it's eerie that, you know, it's almost a 7 year delta between the two eclipses. And they're only, and those particular eclipses are ones that can only be seen over America. And one comes from Canada, one kind of goes up near Canada and down. And then one comes up from Mexico and up. And of course, you know, we see what's going on with Mexico right now and how that's an access point to, you know, millions of, you know, 10, 15 million people have come in during the, you know, during this time. So it's just interesting, you know, and then of course it makes an X across the United States. And then one tracks another one, which makes an Aleph. So you got Alpha and Tav. Alpha, Aleph is Alpha and Tav is Omega, or, you know, like our ending, or Alpha and Tav. So some people see that these are signs in the heavens. You know, I don't know what to think of these things. And I think there's two different ways you can look at it. You can read into too much into it and become an obsession. Or you can say, oh, it doesn't mean anything, you know, oh, it doesn't mean anything, and, you know, there's some people are saying, you know, that obviously that the eclipse is a symbol of, you know, the sign. If we remember when Jesus died, the earth stopped showing its light for 3 hours, right? The sun stopped showing its light. So there was likely an eclipse, some sort of an eclipse of the sun during the death of Jesus. Anyways, and so I think that we should definitely look at it. And I also think of, like, you know, the Bible says in the last days, there'll be signs on the heavens above and in the earth below.
Right.
So there, you know, we are to look at the signs, we are to pay attention to them. And I think, you know, specifically, like if you look at, like, when Jesus was born, there was the convergence of the stars that came together, the Bethlehem star, however that happened, you know, and only wise men from the East knew that it had a meaning. Right. And then they went to Bethlehem, or they went to Israel, and they said, oh yeah, this is the time of the birth of the Messiah, that, you know, so, you know, the son of David's going to be born. So it's one of those things where you're like, okay, we can't totally write it off as meaning nothing, because it does seem eerily symbolic of something, you know?
Well, God's brilliant, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't waste any of his eclipses or his phenomenon in the skies, in the cosmos, but we're in California, and basically we're going to be able to see about half of the sun covered during that time. And in Pacific time, standard time, we'll be dark around 10 in the morning. 10:06 to 11:22 is when the moon begins to pass across the sun, like a little, you know, like a little Pac-Man biting into it. But there'll only be about 3 minutes where it will be half covered. So the totality is the term that's used for when the entire sun is covered. And that's what we've been talking about, is the totality pathway of this eclipse. And so the eclipse will be about 2 to 3 hours. It comes up from Mexico, goes across Texas, Indiana, Illinois, and up towards New York. It'll be up by Buffalo. It'll be up by Niagara Falls. And so that'll have a totalitarian pathway. And those are when you want to be very careful not to look at the sun. But there'll only be about 3, maybe 4 minutes when it will be darkened fully, where there'll be a little rim of light around the outside. And so there are a lot of rumors about this, the eclipse. So one is that it's going to cause earthquakes. And I looked up, and geologically, there's no difference between a full moon with an eclipse or without. So there's no more effect than a regular full moon or any lunar cycle. So the earthquakes that are being talked about in the New Madrid fault line, they are not going to be, if there's an earthquake, it's probably engineered, or it's because I, like Lara Logan said, I don't believe in the coincidences anymore, but they've been talking about an earthquake, but there's no actual geologic effect for it. But they do have a large fault line right there that's about 150 miles long in Missouri. And they've had high seismic activities in other centuries, but really since the 1900s, they haven't had anything more than maybe a 5.4 earthquake. So that's really a misnomer. And then there's this thing about NASA shooting up three rockets, and people are going, what are they doing? They're trying to start some sort of something, some sort of Star Wars or so the conspiracy theories are all out there. We know NASA has some occult roots in it, and they are certainly up to nefarious things, but basically what they're saying is they're going to launch three rockets that are 45 minutes apart, one before the eclipse, one during the eclipse, and one after the eclipse, to measure the ionosphere. And they've done that before for another eclipse. So I don't know that there's anything too nefarious there, other than maybe some money laundering. And I don't know what they're really trying to study. And then I heard about these cicadas that are going to come out at about the same time, because they're dormant species. You know, those are those grasshopper locust sort of things. Well, that has nothing to do with the eclipse. That's just part of the 221-year cycle that they happen to be coming out in a similar area. And it probably won't be next week. It's sometime during when the spring warms up. There's a certain temperature. So anything about this, the locusts coming in, that's that has nothing to do with the eclipse. But this thing on CERN was very interesting. We know it's been shut down for 2 years. The European Organization for Nuclear Research, you know, the Hadron Collider in Switzerland that has the Shiva statue out front and is said to be built on the temple and the altar of Apollo or Apollyon, who is Shiva the destroyer. So it's interesting. They are going to fire that up next week, the same day as the eclipse, and look for dark matter during the eclipse. So we already know that there are quite a few scientists who are not happy about CERN, say that it's very dangerous, and that Hadron Collider, even though America's given quite a bit of money to support it over the years. So the elites always, they seem to be in charge of that collider, and who knows what's going to happen, but I'm sure they're not going to waste an emergency or a phenomenon, because they seem obsessed by astronomic events and symbols and numbers, and why waste something that can be used to create fear or opportunity. So at very least, there might be an opportunity for a cyber attack while people are being very vigilant and kind of fearful at this time. But there are also some states that have declared emergency, Travis County, Texas. But a lot of that is, they don't believe a catastrophic event. They just think a lot of people will come out and watch it because they're on that pathway. So I've got friends who went to Texas to watch this, or they're going to go to Texas to watch this event. And then Texas DOT, the Department of Transportation, they said, make sure you keep your headlights on, and don't wear your eclipse glasses while you're driving, and don't stop in the middle of the road during the eclipse, and watch out for pedestrians, and don't wear black, white, or gray, because nobody will see you. So there's just a lot of hype right now. Yeah. Some schools are closing, and it seems like a strange event. But I think that if you get too conspiratorial, you can probably interpret almost anything as somebody's doing something nefarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good overview of the event. We know that God does use the signs in the heavens above and the earth below to proclaim what he wants to proclaim. But we also know that the enemy tries to deceive. He's the deceiver of the brethren. He's the one that, you know, the Bible talks about, who sometimes even appears as an angel of light. He's the author of fear and doubt and unbelief. So it's very easy for even Christians to slip into fear, doubt, and unbelief during this time. And I think it's really important that we do not do that. We play right into the hand of the enemy. We know that even like this situation with the lockdowns became a psychological operation to control the population. So what I'm expecting is that the enemy is going to try to spook us, you know, woo, you know, boo, and try to get us to react in fear, and then we then use that reaction of fear to control the populations, which is, you know, he's done that, you know, for millennia. So I think we, you know, the key for us is to be wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. We're supposed to be, we know we're not unaware of the enemy's schemes. The Bible says he's like he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And really your real protection is that of that is having your mind in Christ and having your relationship with Jesus. And, you know, and if there is a message from God in all of this, I would say it's probably America, repent, you know, turn back to God. I mean, there may be a meaning behind it going over six or seven cities named Nineveh, which the main message of Jonah in the book of Jonah was to call the people of Nineveh to repentance. And Jonah didn't want to do it. And he went the other way and he ended up in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. But that message, that story of Jonah was a story of repentance. And then of course he goes finally to Nineveh, preaches to them. And he's like, God, I don't even want you to save these people. He preaches the worst message ever. Like the whole message is in 40 days, God's going to destroy everything. There's like no grace, no hope in that. And everybody turns to God and then God relents and he doesn't destroy Nineveh. So I think that there's something here that God is saying. And I think that the people who know Christ, people who have the discernment of the Holy Spirit in them, they have the mind of Christ, need to discern what is going on. And I would say right now is a perfect opportunity to share Jesus with people, because they're asking. Mm-hmm. Some people are asking questions that they would never ask before because everybody's talking about these weird things happening. So anyways.
Yes. Very, very interesting. I'll share a little bit of my take, So the map here, there was actually three eclipses that have happened in the seven eclipse year period. They call it a 7 year eclipse period. So the first one happened in 2017. And I remember we were all talking about it quite a bit, just the things that were happening. And that one would be the one that's most horizontal. And that went through. And at that same time that was happening, they had two hurricanes? Maria and Joseph. So Mary and Joseph, they had the signs in the heavens, first time in 7,000 years, where the Virgo, the Virgin, in the sky had all the sun, moon, and the stars, 10 of them. And that was aligning up at that time. So we were like, this is really weird. It's getting our attention. Have no idea what it means. And when they studied that one, they did find that there were seven cities on that most horizontal one, called Salem, which is peace, like Jerusalem, city of peace, Salem or Shalom. And so that's a very interesting characteristic of that. Then you have another one that happened in just last year, 2023. And I remember that one because we had a pretty good amount of, that's probably the biggest eclipse I'd ever seen from living in Central California, Santa Cruz area. And I remember that one. And so that came down here. And then this one that's coming up on the 8th will be coming up from Mexico all the way exiting into Nova Scotia area of Canada. And there are eight cities in the United States. Mm-hmm. Seven cities in the United States. And there is one in Canada, but with the states. And that one is called Nineveh, just as Brandon had mentioned. And then where it crosses the X of those two, from 2017 to 2024, it's in Illinois, Little Egypt. And what's really interesting is this same pattern of these three, which happens to be the letters Tav and Aleph, which is I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. These two signs happen over Egypt in 2027 with these same eclipses, the same pattern. Mm. And these patterns don't go all the place, all over the place. So it's very interesting that just in 3 years, it's going to actually happen in Egypt as well. So, you know, is there a sign about deliverance? Who knows? Maybe time will tell. But it is very interesting how it started with peace and it ends with this call to repentance, you know, Nineveh and little Egypt, you know, deliverance of Israel, which I believe this is a modern day Israel personally. But and the interesting thing is in the exact time between that first eclipse, the peace eclipse, and the one that's going to happen next week, if you divide that time in half, that's exactly when Joe Biden was being inaugurated, or I'm sorry, not inaugurated. It was December 14th. Congress had certified, I think it's down here on this page. I don't know where it went. Anyway, it is in the exact midpoint of those two eclipses is when he was certified. That's what it was. So Congress certified him right there within the hours. I just find that interesting. It starts off with peace. And I do remember it was peace up to that point. Right. And then the whole thing just went to hell in a handbasket, you know, with the certification and, you know, and then you had the protest and all that stuff. And since then it's been the other way, you know, opposite of peace really. So I don't know if there's a much in that. We'll see. Looking back is usually when you find out, oh, that's what he was trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2020 vision is hindsight, isn't it?
Right.
And we'll know next week.
Yeah. Well, no, next week. Here's a couple of interesting points. There was a total solar eclipse that crossed over Nineveh. They traced it back using solarium on the 15th of June, 763 BC, during the reign of King Ashur-dan III. So this may be that may be the sign that was happening in Nineveh, that there was a sign in the heavens when Jonah preached, you know, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And then it was accompanied by a eclipse that some people surmise that might've been what caused the people to repent. Okay. Which is interesting. No way to know that for sure. You know, when Jesus says, you know, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. Right. And he says for 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of the whale. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And some people are arguing and saying, well, that's clearly he gives the interpretation right there. Jesus will be in the tomb for 3 days. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. But what else in the story? Because the Bible has a broad swath of meaning usually in prophecy. There's patterns, you know, the highest and most important one was the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. That's the sign. But there's other things that happened in that story of Jonah, like an eclipse. Okay. And then we've seen a bunch of other types of signs that happened. You mentioned a couple of them, Ron. I just want to point out a couple here, just maybe show a few of them. But there was also a series of blood moons that happened 2014, 2015. Now, as a pastor, studied theology, Fuller Theological Seminary, I spend no time up to like the last 4 years spending any time thinking about these types of things. Like, okay, we'll see it if it happens, right? But it's just enough signs in the heavens to make me think, okay, it seems like there's some sort of messaging going on in the heavens. Now, I could be wrong, but at least, you know, they're there, and it's an interesting concept to look at, that there were a tetrad of blood moons on Jewish feasts in the months of, you know, in the years of 2014, 2015. And then if you go to this other one that I want to share, there's this is the one you mentioned also. This was in 2017. You know, there was people that were really studying this sign, like the virgin will be with child and she'll give birth to a son. And we know that the main interpretation that is Jesus, right? In Revelation chapter, I think it's 13 or 12. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, 12, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head was a crown of, and she had been with child and cried out and travail and gave birth to deliver. Well,
this sign was that there was all of these traveling stars were in the sign of Virgo, which are virgin, and Leo, the lion, had these extra traveling stars, so that these all of these stars were in her hair, like a crown, and she was clothed with the sun, and then there was Jupiter swirling around in her abdomen for 42 months, which 42 months is the time of a birth. And so what they said was, and what I've studied and heard people study, is that this sign, there, all of the parts are in the sky all the time, but they're never all the same in the sky all at the exact time. Like, there'll be a star missing here, or the sun will be here, but there won't be Jupiter swirling around in her belly. So all of these happened on the 23rd of September, 2017. So if you take all of these signs together, you go, okay, God may be trying to say something here. Right. And so that's kind of what I hear people talking about. And so I think we should look at it and go, okay, let's see, how is this working in God's plan?
Yep. And, you know, God is, he does speak through us but he also speaks to us. And one way he speaks to us is through his scriptures. And that is probably the most important one.
Amen.
And you know what? There's a new Bible that came out by Lee Glenwood. He's the man who wrote that song, "I'm Proud to Be an American." You know, that one, "God Bless the USA." Yeah. And so he put this together, but he had an endorsement by President Trump. And I was just so blessed to see President Trump endorse this. And so I just want to play it real quick, just to show.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song, "God Bless the USA," in connection with promoting the "God Bless the USA" Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our Founding Father documents. Yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day, very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this "God Bless the USA" Bible. And it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God. We must defend God in the public square and not allow the media or the left-wing groups to silence, censor, or discriminate against us. We have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before. What can we do? Stand up, speak out, and pray that God will bless America again. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. Pray, wow. Get educated, get motivated, and stand with me and the legions of Americans asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back, and to make America great again. I'm proud to partner with Lee in this offering. He's a very special man, both as a talent, but maybe even more so as a human being. He's very, very special. And I think you all should get a copy of "God Bless the USA" Bible now and help spread our Christian values with others. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
Yeah, wow. Powerful. Very powerful. You know, I just am so just blessed when I saw that, you know.
So. You know, what's interesting about this, you know, President Trump is talking about the things that we would want a president to talk about. You know, he's the only president that ever went to the March for Life. Okay. Who's ever actually showed up at the March for Life. He's like putting out this Bible and people are criticizing him, saying, even Christians, oh, he's, you know, making a Bible, you know, making money to pay for his debts and all the things he's got to pay for because he's a criminal. And I think it actually says on this website that he doesn't make a dime off the Bible.
Yeah, right. It does say that.
Yeah. So, and some people are saying, I had, even during Easter, we were having dinner, and one of my family members said, oh, you know, he should just be giving those away for free. I'm like, have you ever bought a leather bound study Bible before? Like, you know, my parents bought me one back in high school and they were like $49 back then. Like, you know, so.
Yeah,
I don't quite get why there's a criticism of them. Somebody like Lee Greenwood making money off a Bible that has the founding documents in it, which the main founding document, the Declaration of Independence, says we hold these truths to be self-evident by our Creator. You know, the God, these unalienable rights that were given to us by a Creator. So it's like it kind of molds together the theological content, the basis for our country. I think it's totally appropriate, but just because Donald Trump could basically come up with the cure for cancer and half the Christian population would be still angry at him.
Yeah.
Because they've been told to, because MSNBC told them they should hate him.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about money. It does cost money to print a Bible. And I think it was William Tyndale during the Reformation. The Bible was made illegal by the Roman Church. And if they caught you with it, they would burn that Bible. And so what William Tyndale said is, for every four Bibles, let's give one to the Roman Church to burn because they're buying them. And that will fund our effort to print the other three. So they fully funded their Bible printing by giving one fourth of them to the Roman Church.
What an incredible business plan.
I know. I just, I laughed when I read that, but how amazing, brilliant. When he closed, Donald Trump closed, he talked about prayer. And I thought that was really a powerful point because there was a prophecy about him being a man of prayer. And I just want to just play this one real quick little bit right here. There's a bunch of them, but it's Kim Clement again, who had prophesied this back in Reading. So I'm assuming that's at Bethel Church back almost, 18 years ago, almost to the day.
In the highest seat in your ear will be a praying president, not a religious one. But I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in. And they shall say, he has hot blood. But the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way. And the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the word of the Lord.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give that little clip. So he's a praying man, not a religious one. You notice that? I mean, God is not looking for a pastor to run the country. He's looking for a fighter. And, when we think of religious people, they're like, oh, holier than thou. And, you know, he's got a past. He's a strong person. God's using him. And but he's a man of prayer. And it also said that he'd come whispering and but shouting, coming out, you know, of in prayer, like a man of prayer. And so I think I'm seeing the transformation of President Trump, you know, when he first came in. And of course, obviously, before he was even running for president, you know, he had a wild past, checkered past. I get it, you know, but God chose him. And, you know, who am I to question God? And I believe that God gave enough evidence to say, hey, this is who I'm choosing. And if that's the case, then who am I to argue with God? You know, and I do believe that there was enough evidence, from these prophecies to say, hey, Kim is on to something. Obviously, the government thought he was when he prophesied 9/11 and that we'd go to war with Iraq because of it, and that it would be a mistake. And the FBI winds up raiding his house. They're like, how did you know that to the pinpoint? And so anyway, when he said we need to be a nation of prayer, that's what reminded me of that prophecy.
Yeah, you know, there's a place in the Bible where the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Master, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he was not one of us. Don't stop him, Jesus said, for whoever is not against you is for you. And I just see, you know, there's so many people that they've had their minds, they've been told by mainstream media that Donald Trump is the devil, you shouldn't like him. They've all the media, all the celebrities, all the other politicians, all say, even though the rhinos, the Democrats, everybody against him. Why? Why are they assembled against him? And then he does this thing with the Bible, and then Christians are like, oh, you know, he's just trying to pay off his debts because he's a criminal. I'm like, hold on a second. Jesus said, if someone's preaching Jesus, even if they don't have the motives correct, but they're still doing it, don't tell them not to, because they're for you. And you know, and then in another place, Jesus says, listen, if someone's preaching about me and you know, don't tell them to stop, because they can't preach about me 1 minute and then say anything against me the next. And it's just interesting. If you juxtapose President Biden, the resident Biden, and President Trump, how completely different their focus is. And how, you know, how the things that, you know, Donald Trump says at least are pro-church, pro-Christian. Whether he's doing it to just get the Christian vote, I don't know. I don't think so. But if he is, fine. Still, Christ is being preached. And I think people need to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
Well, I think we've gone pretty long, actually. This is probably one of our longest. So any closing comments? I don't think we'll do the Enoch blast or anything this week, but yeah.
But you can check them out. You can go to Vigilant Fox on X and see all the 10 things, news articles that you didn't get from mainstream media this week. I encourage you to do that. Or go to Enoch News. What's that one, Chris, that you often go to check out and find out what's going on?
Yeah, on Truth Social, it is Enoch News. You could type it into their search. But, you know, we just want to be reminded that today is April Fool's Day. It has been a fun kind of a joker holiday, but what's going on in this earth is far from a joke.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep. And just a little niche, you know, I'm going to be preaching in San Jose at Church of the Chimes this coming Sunday. I'm talking about asking God to do it again. And I'll talk a little bit about Benjamin Franklin, some of the founding fathers, and what their faith was like. And we want to see God do it again in this country. Amen?
Amen. That's a great church, too. I remember going to that many years ago, Church of the Chimes. So, yeah, don't miss it.
All right. Good night.